Last week, we considered the prophetic word of Isaiah related to the birth of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, the child that was born, the son that was given, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This morning, the birth of Jesus, as Matthew reveals it, and especially unique of the Gospels, the birth of Jesus as Joseph experienced it. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, and he gave him the name Jesus. This morning, a message I've entitled, "With Us to Save Us." Our message this morning is a two-part one. The title is really the message. So first this morning, part one, God with us. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I think this is true. We are not made to be alone. We are not created to be comfortable with loneliness. We might enjoy a few minutes of alone time. With six kids in our house and me gone as often as I can be, Jenny could describe to you the need for some alone time. Not a life defined by that, though. None of us long for that. None of us look forward to that. We long to be near people. We long to have people near us. The crowds might drive us crazy at times. To go into the grocery store and see the aisles filled with people might frustrate us, might annoy us when driving down the road and all the traffic backed up and moving too slow and us needing to get where we're wanting to get to and all the rest. It may be true that at times the people around us can frustrate us, can get on our nerves, can even annoy us at times, but a life without people is not an option for us. Back in 2004, the story was told. The 87-year-old man moped through life living in a sleepy village outside Rome, Italy, with his books and seven cats. His wife had been dead for 12 years. His only daughter worked in Afghanistan. He lived a dully rhythm, seldom venturing out, rarely speaking to others. Life was colorless, drab, lonely. And on the day he decided to do something about it, Giorgio Angelozzi put himself up for adoption. That's right. He placed a classified ad in Italy's largest daily newspaper. Seeks family in need of a grandfather. Would bring 500 euros a month to a family willing to adopt him. The ad changed his life. The paper ran a front page article about him. Inquiries poured in from as far away as Colombia, New Zealand, and New Jersey. Angelozzi became a celebrity overnight. He went from having nothing but time to having scarcely enough time to handle interviews and requests. A pop star responded. A millionaire offered servants and a seaside villa. But one letter stood out. Angelozzi explained, because every member of the family, father, mother, sister, brother, had signed it. He settled into their ground floor apartment, taking walks in the garden, helping with dishes and homework. "I couldn't have chosen better," he says. "Maybe it was luck or maybe it was God looking after me. I don't know. I knew right away I had found my new home." An old man who just needed people near him, and an entire world who needed an old man near them. We dread, we fear loneliness and aloneness. We long to be near people. We long to have people near us. Do our hearts and lives, this longing for the nearness of another, comes Christmas, the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. Martin Luther retells the folklore story of a stubborn and unspiritual man. He had no reverence for any of the great truths of Christianity. When the creeds were recited, the man would not kneel. And it's said that when the words "and God was made man" were sung in church, this man neither crossed himself nor removed his hat, both of which were common practice in the church of that day. Luther says, "Then the devil stepped up to this man and hit him so hard it made his head spin. He, the devil, cursed him gruesomely and said, 'May hell consume you. If God had become an angel like me,' and the congregation sang, 'God was made an angel,' I would bend not only my knee, but my whole body to the ground. And you, vile human creature, you hear that God did not become an angel, but a man like you, and you just stand there like a stick of wood." Although this morning the news would not be new to us, may our hearts be once again in awe of the news of Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe the most awe-inspiring fact of the Christmas story. Never mind the miracle. A virgin shall give birth to a son. Never mind the host of angels and the shepherds in the field. Can you imagine that night? Can you imagine what it must have been like for them? Can you imagine the fear, the awe, the wonder, the heavenly host that filled the sky? We step outside on a clear night and we're in awe and wonder of the stars and the beauty of our galaxy, the universe that we can behold, the handiwork of God. But can you imagine, instead of the stars that you see, a host of heavenly angels that are talking to you? But never mind that. Never mind the star and the wise men from the east. All of it seems insignificant when compared to this fact, as John describes it. The Word became flesh and blood and made his dwelling with us. Isaiah's prophetic word to King Ahaz, Matthew's explanation of the fulfillment of that word, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's the greatest of miracles, is it not? It's the greatest of paradoxes. The God from whom all things come comes forth from Mary's womb. He who is spirit becomes flesh and blood like us. He who is eternal submits himself to the time constraints of humanity. He who is divine becomes one with mankind. Imagine it for a moment. Consider it again this morning. The Creator, the I Am, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the eternal, the everlasting God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Almighty, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the always present God, wraps himself in humanity's flesh. And in Bethlehem's stable, Joseph and Mary wrap him in swaddling cloth and lay him in the manger. The real story of Christmas, the real miracle for us, is it not Emmanuel, God becoming one of us? It's one of my favorites. I'm not sure it's referred to as a Christmas carol, but it for sure is one of my favorite Christmas songs, maybe yours as well. The words simply say this: Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? The song goes on to say, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Emmanuel, God with us. Can I encourage you this morning, throughout this week, would you consider Christmas in light of Emmanuel? I know you're busy. I know you still got things on your shopping list, things to do, places to go. I know you probably already have a great deal planned for the week, but would you find time? Would you make time to remember Emmanuel? I wonder, as you would, even now, as we would, what might the Spirit of God speak to our hearts in the simple message that is Emmanuel, God with us? I wonder this morning, to you, to me, what encouragement might come, what strength might come, what blessing might come. Maybe even how might this Christmas, how might even you and me, how might we be changed miraculously, divinely, radically changed simply by the renewed realization of Emmanuel, God with us. This morning, just quickly, from me, a few things you might remember as you remember Emmanuel. Think of it for a moment. God with us. God with us. Not God with the rich. Not God with the religious. Not God with everyone who's got everything put together just right. Not God with everyone who always does everything just right. God with us. All of us, God with you, God with me. He's God with us, not an above us, not a somewhere out there God. He's God with us, with us through life, wherever we go, at any moment, any time. He is where we are. He is where you are. He is God with us. There are no restrictions on this promise. No, I'll be with you if you behave. No, I'll be with you whenever you're at church or Bible reading or prayer or doing all your religious stuff. I like the way one author puts it. There's no withholding tax on God's with promise. Be reminded of that this Christmas for you. For your struggles in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, in your health. Listen to me this morning. God is with you. And he's God with us. One author says this: prophets weren't enough. Apostles wouldn't do. Angels won't suffice. God sent more than miracles and messages. He sent himself. For thousands of years throughout the Old Testament, God had given to his people his voice. God had sent to his people his messengers, his prophets, spoken to his people his word. But at the manger, it's all about God giving to us himself. How amazing the Christmas story, this celebration, if you will, of God's descent. Where God reveals to us that he not only sends, but he becomes. He not only looks down, but he lives among. And he not only talks to us, but he walks with us as well. He lives with us as one of us. God with us. No longer need you worry about living in obscurity. God knows you. God's with you. Psalm 56 says this: you have seen me tossing and turning through the night. You've collected all my tears and preserved them in your bottle. You have recorded every one in your book. Isaiah 49. This is what the Lord speaks to you this morning. Listen to me, you that feel that maybe he's forgotten you. You that feel that maybe you live life in obscurity. You that have a hard time receiving the message this morning of God with you, because you're inclined to argue this morning. No, Pastor, God's with the good. God's with the holy. God's with people like you, or people like that guy that sits in that pew, or that lady over there, people that have it all together. No, you don't understand. See, I've got this mess that I'm dealing with. I don't think God's with me because of the mess, because of the filth, because of the yuckiness that I'm going through or that I've done. I don't have it all. I don't think right. I don't talk right. I don't do right. I don't live right. I've got this flaw. I've got that binds me still. God's not with people like me, Pastor. Listen to the word of the Lord today. God says, see, I have written your name on the palms of my hand. Not sure where I stand as far as approving or disapproving of the tattoos, but I'm sure glad God has one. My name right there on his hand. Psalm 139, Lord, you've examined me. You know all about me. You know, when I sit down, when I get up, you know my thoughts before I think them. You know where I go, where I lie down. You know thoroughly everything I do. Lord, even before I say a word, you already know it. You're all around me, in front and in back, and have put your hand on me. No longer need you worry about being alone. God's near you. God's with you. God's for you. Hebrews says this, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Would you say that with me this morning? Listen to me. Here's why you're going to say it. It's not self-help. It's not, let's just talk ourselves into believing something. This is why you're going to say it this morning. God has said, listen to me, my dear brother and sister. God has said to you, to me, to us this morning, listen to the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Never, 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 never will I leave you. Never, never, never will I forsake you. So say it with me with confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Listen to me. In your sickness, he has not left you. He does not forsake you. So you say with confidence, the Lord's my helper. I'll not be afraid. In your lack, in your valley right now that you walk through, in this moment of distress and discouragement, maybe a depression has settled over you. Listen, there in your weakness, in your flawed life, in your mistake, in your shame, in your regret, you must hear the word of the Lord this morning. He says to you, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So we then say with confidence, the Lord's my helper. I'll not be afraid. Listen, some of us go through life scared to death at every turn. And I'm just telling you, you're doing it wrong. Because the God of heaven and earth is with you, never to leave you, never to forsake you. And so listen to me, brother and sister. This is our Christian life. Wherever we go, whatever befalls us, I will say with confidence, the Lord is my help. I'll not be afraid. Hey, I hear you went to the doctor and I heard it was bad. Oh, that's terrible, terrible. It's nothing because God never leave me, never forsake me. So I say with confidence, he's my helper. I'm not afraid. Oh, have you seen the reports of where the economy's going? Oh, I hear you lost your job. It's so terrible. Oh, I hear you going through problems. I hear what happened to your son. No, God's never going to leave me. He'll never forsake me. So I'm saying with confidence, he's my helper. I will not be afraid. The Lord is your helper. He is Emmanuel. He is with you. Think of it for a moment. God with us. This is God's love for us. Emmanuel becoming one of us. This is the extravagance. This is the magnitude of his love for us. This is the desperation of God. This is a God desperate for you and me, for a relationship with us. It's amazing to read through scripture. God's a relationship-oriented God. God is a people person God. In Genesis, he's with Adam and Eve in the garden. He calls Abraham his friend. He lets Moses see his glory, talks to him face to face. He visits Elijah in the cave. He stands beside Paul in the prison cell, and he currently prepares a place for you and me in heaven so that he can be with us forever. God doesn't favor isolation, doesn't like it, doesn't want it. God doesn't need any alone time. God's desperate for a relationship with us. He could have stayed in heaven, wadded the whole thing up and started over, created a humanity that this time would love him, wouldn't leave him the first chance they got, would be faithful and obedient to him forever. He could have done that, or he could become one of us. And as Larry Farthing puts it, become poor so that we could become rich. Be born that we might be born again. He could become a servant so that we could become sons. He could become homeless so that we could have a home in heaven. He could be made sin so that we could be made righteous. He could die so that we'd live. He could come down so that one day we could be caught up. Listen, the Emmanuel of Christmas reminds us of this today. Though no one on this earth love you, care for you, or desire you, there is a God in heaven so desperate for you, he was willing to leave the glories of his home to come to yours to be like you. This is God's compassion for us because he's Emmanuel. He's not a distant. He's not a far off God. He's a with us God, a clothed with flesh, go through life just like us God. Because he's that, because he's Emmanuel, Hebrews tells us this. Therefore, we have a high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We hold firmly then to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is God's revelation to us. Imagine the shepherds visiting this night in Bethlehem. There lies the baby. Do you understand this morning? There lies God. The hope that God is, there's that hope right there in the manger. The life, the revealing light, the love that God is, there he is. Right there in the manger, the forgiveness, the faithfulness, that's him crying there in the manger. That's God, the revealed attributes of God. It's all there, right there in the flesh. And now humanity no longer need wonder what God is like. Every aspect of God's character embodied here in this baby, in this manger. God revealing himself to humanity so that humanity could know the truth of who he is. Listen, some of you have a distorted view of God. You have a distorted view of what God is like. You have a distorted view of how God does. It's tradition. It's your experiences in life. Maybe you just throw it out, this false teaching. You've heard the wrong thing. Maybe it's the devil that has come and planted deception in your heart and in your mind. You need to understand this morning that God has revealed to us himself. If you ever wonder what God is like, if you would wonder this week what he's like, listen to me. If you would be asked this week what God's like, this is what you're to believe. This is what you're to understand. This is what you're to say. He is Emmanuel. He's God with us. Can you imagine Matthew's message in the Old Testament? God's holy. So holy you can't look upon his face and live. He's the one from whom Moses has to hide his face. He's the one who resided within the Holy of Holies. that place that only the high priest could enter, and then only once a year, and then only with a rope tied around his ankle, lest the holiness of God consume him, and he fall over dead while inside the Holy of Holies. It was a means to pull him out. And now, suddenly Matthew begins his gospel and introduces to his readers Jesus with this: He is Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. Sometimes we don't believe it because we don't always see it. Sometimes we don't believe it because we don't often feel it. We're in the middle of stuff. We don't see God anywhere. Some of you this morning, if you'd be honest, it may in fact be your response. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with, I don't see God anywhere. We sometimes wonder and we sometimes ask, but where's God in this? I don't feel him. I don't see him. I can't imagine he's really even here. Surely things would be different if he really were here. Listen to me this morning, because this is the truth. Never mind what you can see or what you would feel. Can I remind you, dear believer, this trumps your feelings. I don't say it to be rude. I say it because maybe you need to hear it this morning. Listen to me. Never mind your feelings. Your feelings can deceive you. This never will. We build our lives on this, not how we feel, not what we think. We build our lives on this. And so this morning I speak to you God's word. I encourage you today to believe God's word. Put your faith not in what you see or feel. Put your faith in God's word and hear his word to you this morning. He is Emmanuel. Listen to me. He is with you. If you're hurting, the Lord is with you. He's the come alongside of you God, the God of all comfort who comforts us. He's the God who in our troubles ministers to us. If you're lost, he's the God who directs your steps, who makes your path straight. If you're alone, oh, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you're in the middle of a trial, he's your great shield and protector, your strong tower. If you're sick, he's your healer. If you're weak, he's your strength. If you're dead still in your sin, he's your savior. He's the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise God. He is Emmanuel, and he is with you. He is, was, and listen to me this morning, and he always will be. No matter what your tomorrow holds, no matter what lies in store for you in the coming year, oh, it is my prayer that you would remember what you have heard here today. He is with me. He always has been, and he always will be. So this morning, our message in two parts. The first, he is God with us, and now the second, to save us. A God with us is good, but not much good if he can't save us. Not much good if he won't save us. How good the good news then of Matthew 1. One more time, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, a righteous man, didn't want to expose her. He had in mind to divorce her. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God with us to save us. It was the same as part one. I understand that, but can I encourage you here as well this morning? Throughout this week, would you consider Christmas in light of Jesus, your Savior? Would you find time? Would you take time to remember him? And once more, I would wonder, as you would do that, even now, as we would do it together, what might the Spirit speak to your heart? She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What encouragement might come just from the consideration of that again? what strength might come, what blessing might come, maybe even how might this Christmas, how might even you be changed, even be forever changed simply by setting your heart and mind again on Jesus, your Savior. This morning, just quickly for me, a few things you might remember as you remember him. The angel reveals it to Joseph. He's Jesus because he's the Savior from sin. Because he is that, we celebrate not only his birth this Christmas season, we get to celebrate as well forgiveness. Oh, listen, how good to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. If he doesn't come to forgive you of your sin and be for you a Savior, there's no need to celebrate. There's no reason to celebrate his birth. But even in fact, it's because of his forgiveness and because of his salvation that it makes the celebration of his birth all the more impactful for us. He is the Savior. And as we celebrate his birth, we get to celebrate as well his forgiveness. Matthew writes his gospel to a Jewish audience, his purpose to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the King. And because he's writing to a Jewish audience, then it's important for him to show that Jesus is the rightful heir of David's throne, because that's the prophetic word throughout the Old Testament related to the Messiah. So in Matthew 1, we get a bit of genealogy. It's interesting. With this listing of names, you can read it, a common thread, a singular thing that links all the names together. It's the thing that links all humanity together. Sin, mistakes, failure, disobedience. You read through Matthew chapter 1, and if the names, if you're able to recall them at all, most likely, in fact, you'll remember, oh yeah, that's the guy who did that. Oh yeah, that's the lady who used to be like that. And as you go through the names, you find the common link of sin, the common link of failure, the common link of all having fallen short, missed the mark of God's glory. But then verse 21, you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. Something has happened. Do you get it this morning? It's not another sinner that has been born, but rather a Savior from sin that has come. Paul maybe says it best in 1 Corinthians 15, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. The Living Bible puts it this way. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, being members of his sinful race. And wherever there is sin, death results. But all who are related to Christ will rise again. Jesus came so that he might be the Savior from sin, my Savior from sin, your Savior from sin, our Savior from sin. He came so that regardless of our stories, ours reading very much like the ones in Matthew chapter 1, filled with sin and shame and regret and failure and disobedience. Some people still, oh yeah, he's the guy that used to, oh yeah, she's the one that used to be. And all of a sudden we recognize, wow, our stories fall so perfectly in line with all the stories of all humanity, all who have missed God's mark and missed God's glory. Our stories, however, changed by his forgiveness, his mercy and grace, as we know him as Savior from sin and its death curse on us. He's the Savior. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. His salvation brings forgiveness, and his salvation brings freedom. Because of Jesus, the curse of sin is shattered. The bondages of sin are broken. The chains of sin broken. The tyranny of the devil ended. The wrath of God against us satisfied. We have been set free from sin so that now we are free to live our lives for God. No longer slaves to sin, which leads to death, and set slaves to God, which leads to eternal life, real life, abundant life, which leads to righteousness and holiness, which leads to everything that is good. Everything that is godly, in him we discover the freedom to be made brand new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's the freedom to experience his redemption and to live redeemed lives. In the gospel of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus, we find a testimony of God's grace to redeem the messed up stories of some messed up people. In the gospel accounts of Jesus's life and ministry, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, we find a testimony of God's grace to redeem a broken people. Even in fact, throughout all of the New Testament, we find a testimony of God's grace to redeem a pagan world. And related to the prophetic future, we find in Daniel and Revelation a testimony of God's grace to redeem a backslidden and rebellious Israel. Jesus comes to save, and he comes to redeem you and put you back together again. In Romans 8 and 28, Paul assures us that in all things, God's working for good. In Genesis, we read the story of Joseph thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, unjustly imprisoned, forgotten. When confronting his brothers who started it all, Joseph will tell them, what you intended for harm, God has intended for good. It's the redemption power of Jesus, our Savior. You know it's true. You don't need me to tell it to you this morning. But the devil has thrown some of us into some nasty, nasty pits. Sold us into slavery. Held us captive. Put us in bondage to some stuff. But listen, Jesus, the Savior, has been born. And this morning, what the devil intended for harm, God will redeem for good because he's the Savior. In him, we've been forgiven. We've been set free to live our lives now as children of God, friends of God, joint heirs with Jesus. I know you've heard that before. We used to sing it back in the day, but listen. If that doesn't radically turn your world upside down, make you to be all over again in all of the wonders of God's grace and mercy, are you kidding me? I've been made a joint heir with Jesus because he's the Savior. We live our lives with a divine purpose for his divine glory. We've been set free to live our lives in submission to his plan, which is to bless us and to prosper us, to give us hope, to give us a good, good future. We've been set our lives. We've been set free to live in victory. We are more than conquerors. Would you tell yourself that this morning? I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who has loved me. We've been set free to live our lives in joy and peace and constant contentment. Listen, some of you that have lost your joy, some of you that have let the world take away from you your peace, he's the Savior. And because he is, you can know his forgiveness. But because he is, you can also be set free from that this morning. Set free to live in joy again and peace again in him. In Jesus, our Savior, we have freedom to enter into God's throne room with confidence. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to feel that you've been there too much already. You don't need to feel that you're bugging God one too many times. You don't need to feel that you're unworthy, that you're not good enough to be there. Jesus is your Savior. And listen to the words of Hebrews. Because he is that, you're granted permission to enter that throne room with confidence, to experience mercy and grace, to find help when we need it the most. Listen to me this morning. In Jesus, our Savior, we have the freedom to experience God's help today. Paul says this prior to the more than conquerors bit, if God is for us, who can be against us? With God on your side, come on now, what obstacles have a chance? In Jesus, your Savior, the God with whom nothing is impossible is for you. Listen, you need to understand this morning, because this is true, and something that I fear, especially Christians in our culture and in our day, oftentimes miss. Listen to me this morning. You have been set free to live in victory despite your circumstances. No matter what you're dealing with today, you can know His peace and His joy. All can be well inside of you, though maybe all around you is falling apart, and that's good news. But this morning, there's better news. This morning, there's not just good news, there's great news. Jesus, the Savior, has been born. And because He has, God is for you. And nothing, not your sickness, not your stress, not your lack, not any need, not any problem, not any obstacle, stands a chance against Him. That means today, listen to me, you can leave this place different than how you entered. You can leave healed. You can leave delivered. You can leave set free. That means you can enter this week with full assurance God will meet your need. God will take care of you. That means that for the mountain in your way, you can have the confidence that thing is getting thrown into the sea. The salvation of the Lord puts God on our side. And that's freedom then to experience His help. Freedom to experience His life-changing, miracle-working power. Be set free today. In your body, in your mind, your soul, your spirit. Experience His freedom today. Freedom from whatever. Whatever would enslave you. Whatever would put you in bondage. Whatever would make your life to be a miserable mess. Whatever ailments your body would be enduring, whatever tricks your mind would be playing, whatever turmoil in your soul, whatever sins from your past, you shall name Him Jesus, because He'll save His people from their sins. Let Him save you today. Let Him set you free today. Because He's Jesus, we have forgiveness and freedom, and we have family this morning. Paul tells us in Ephesians, we're not foreigners. We're not strangers here. We're fellow citizens of God's kingdom. We're members together of God's family, of God's house. And I know we don't always get it right, but as family, here in this family, we love one another. We submit to one another. We honor one another. We help one another. We bear one another's burdens. We rejoice with one another. We mourn with one another. As believers, our calling is to do good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Listen to me this morning. You're not just amongst friends when you are here. You are with family. Be encouraged by that. Be blessed by that. Finally, this morning, because Jesus is our Savior, we have a future. And Jesus, our Savior, we have a future of purpose. Listen, the Lord has gifted you. The Lord would use you to build up His church, to advance His kingdom. The Lord stirs within our hearts a calling to go and share His plan of salvation to still the lost of this world. God would use us to redeem that's been broken in our families, in our communities. God would use us to speak truth into the lives of those that we know. God would use us to minister healing to those that we would encounter, deliverance to those bound by the devil. The same Spirit that rested on Jesus rested on you and me. The same calling that was upon our Lord's life to go and destroy the works of the devil is upon your life and my life as well. Despite our shortcomings, despite our weaknesses, despite past failures and mistakes, He saves us, forgives us, sets us free, puts us in His family, and places upon us a divine calling to be world changers. I love this story of John Newton. At 11 years of age, he began his life as a seaman, a life marred by continuous rebellion and debauchery. His job, the transporting of slaves from the West Indies to America. He was a vicious and a very, very cruel man. It would be during a terrible, life-threatening storm at sea that this man will read the story of Jesus. The seed will be planted and salvation will come. At age 39, he'll become a pastor, known affectionately as the old converted sea captain. At age 82, he'll go home to be with Jesus. 43 years of ministry. And he never ceased to marvel at God's mercy and grace that had so dramatically changed his life. One of his last sermons, he'll proclaim, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I'm a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." On his tombstone, you'll find the following inscription that he himself wrote: "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy." Perhaps the song that John Newton wrote is so popular and powerful still today because he wrote it with such passion and conviction, such an understanding of what it meant to be forgiven. John Newton, who wrote "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now found. Once blind, but now sees." John Newton, the slave captain, turned pastor, turned preacher, turned hymn writer, turned kingdom builder. And so it is for your future, and so it is for mine, and so it is for our destiny. No matter how the past reads of those listed in Matthew chapter 1, they get to be listed as those who are a part of the lineage of Jesus the Messiah. And no matter how your story reads or my story reads, we get to be listed as those, the redeemed of God, who go now into all the world to make disciples of Jesus and to advance his kingdom. In Jesus, our future as well. Well, it's an eternal one. Romans 6, Paul says this: "But now you've been set free from sin, become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." Oh, aren't you glad this morning? Because Jesus is the Savior, heaven will one day be your eternal home. God with us to save us. God with us. Believe that this morning. God with us to save us. Receive that this morning. I don't know how your story would read right now at this point in your life. We put it all under the umbrella of this, though. Do you need saving this morning? Sickness, financial difficulty, marital problems, family problems. The devil just knows how to get to you. He knows how to weasel his way into your life. Maybe there's a cloud of discouragement, despair that has settled over you. Maybe there's a lack of joy, a lack of peace. Come on, let's just be real this morning. Maybe there's a real area of bondage in your life. Pastor, anger consumes me. Lust controls me. My mouth, out of control. My attitude, shameful. Maybe there's a bondage. I can't break it. I know it's wrong. I know it's sinful. I know that God disapproves. I can't break free. I don't know what. That's a big umbrella. I wonder how many of us would gather under it. I need saving this morning. The good news: Emmanuel, God with us to save us. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. And I pray, Lord, this is not new. We know the Christmas story. My goodness, how many times have we read Matthew 1? But Lord, I pray that you would take the words that have been spoken this morning.